Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until he takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Hey everybody, this is Jason Shepherd. We've got some great guests on Deep Blue in the coming weeks, but we thought we would share another great podcast from the BYU Radio family. Royal Legacy dives deep into the family connection of Cougar sports. Lauren McLean is the host of the podcast and recently interviewed Chris and Chloe Hoke. Chris is a former BYU football lineman and a two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chloe is a member of the Cougars gymnastics team and Chris's daughter. It's a great episode that we hope you enjoy, and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.
Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome to Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. Joining me today are sophomore gymnast Chloe Hoke, who just wrapped up an impressive debut season, and her dad, Chris Hoke, a former BYU football defensive tackle, who went on to win two Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Guys, thank you so much for taking time with me today.
Of course, we're happy to be here.
Lauren, it's great to be with you. Thanks for asking us to be on with you.
Absolutely. And you're in Pittsburgh right now. We have beautiful weather here in Utah. What's it like in Pittsburgh?
It's pretty nice today.
But, you know, this morning, it's like a normal Pittsburgh day, right? A little gloomy in the morning, cloudy, and it warms up and clears up a little bit. That's kind of a Pittsburgh day in this time of year.
Probably rain tonight.
Yeah, rain tonight.
Hey, that's all right. You get a little bit of everything in Pittsburgh, it sounds like. Chloe, let's start off by talking about you because you had such an incredible season. You competed on beam in all but one meet this season and finished with a career high of 9.875 at regionals. What was working for you by the end of the season?
You know, I think every meet is just so different. It's week after week. So keeping your mindset just set on whatever happens the week before and just keep moving on and progressing and figuring it out as you go, what works, what doesn't work. I don't know, as you mentioned, getting my season high at the last meet of the year, it was kind of like everything came together and it came together at the right moment. So, I don't know, it was a fun season though, for sure.
I want to add too though, Lauren, it's coaching, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the coaches were great. I remember being out there in the middle of the year and Chloe had a rough meet, right? So it wasn't a terrible score, but it wasn't the score that she wanted. And she was down, she was just upset, right? I remember being with her that night after the meet, and Nat reached out to her and just sent her a text and told her she was great, that she believes in her. She goes, I know exactly what you got to do. And so the next day they got back in the lab, got in the gym, got on the beam and worked together. And Chloe, it was like a hinge point, turning point for Chloe in the season. Mm-hmm. Because she knew exactly what she needed to learn how to finish her. What do you call that thing?
My side aerial.
Yeah. Side aerial. She got to finish the side aerial. And it was kind of a counting thing, like a talking to herself, and they fixed that, and then Chloe's, it seemed like the rest of the year, she's just, the arrow was pointing up, and she was really doing well. And I give a lot of credit to Guard and Nat and Brogan. They're great coaches, and I think they're a big part of why Chloe has success this year.
For sure. Yeah, you do have some incredible coaches. So would you say that was the meet where you felt like, I got this, I belong here?
That last meet of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think especially going from day one to day two. Day one, I went 9.85, and I was feeling pretty good about it. And so I felt like going into day two, we didn't have anything to lose. It was go big and just do our best gymnastics, and that's exactly what we did. Like, we went out there, and it was do big gymnastics, do what works. We know it works. We've done it so many times, and I didn't have to do anything special. So I just think that's kind of that point where so much leading up to it, it just all came together.
Yeah. You can compete a little more freely.
Yeah.
And that's got to help a lot, right?
Yeah.
Chris, you've been in high-stakes games a lot in your life. Do you see similarities between the mental pressure in both football and gymnastics?
Oh, there's so much pressure in gymnastics. Listen, I can make a mistake in a football game, and I have 70 other plays to make up for it, right? You have one shot to get after it in gymnastics. So there's a lot of pressure. And what I love about Chloe is the way she prepares. Not only does she work hard in the gym every day, but I watch her. She's a true Hoke, right? She's over there looking at the wall. She's getting herself hyped up, ready for that beam routine. That's what we do. That's how my boys are. That's how things go in the Hoke family. And I loved her approach to the sport, to her event. And every week it was consistent and she got comfortable with it. And I think that's why you saw her scores improving every single meet, was because she was methodical, right? And she attacked it every single week the same way. And it just became routine to her. And when things become routine, they become easier and the pressure begins to be less and less.
There's something about competing yourself, obviously, the type of pressure that comes with that. But would you say it's harder to sit in the stands as a dad than it is to be competing yourself on the field?
I cry every time. I can't watch. Sometimes I'm like this, watching, covering my eye, right? Or pulling my hoodie over my head because it's my little girl and I love her so much and I want her to do well. And she works so hard. I know how much it means to her. So when she gets up there, there's like that side aerial and there's your back
series.
Back series. I don't know what they're all called, but I know what they look like. And, you know, and I want her to do it. She works so hard. It means so much to her that I want her to go out there and succeed. And so for me, not being able to help her do it or not being able to have any kind of influence on that, it's hard because mm-hmm. I'm just sitting there watching her hoping that she does well.
And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Gymnasts are the most incredible athletes I've ever seen. And I mean it. Just the strongest, they can do it all. It's incredible. You're always chasing your own best scores, Chloe, but it's also about helping your team. How do you balance that? Because that's kind of an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it is. Especially coming from in high school, competing in a club gym. It's like all about yourself. We never are really thinking about our team score. And I think that makes college gymnastics so much more fun is that we're doing it all together. So it kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off. It takes a little bit of the anxiety away because it's like we're doing it all for each other. And I think it makes it a lot more fun to just know that your score helps the team. So when you get a good score, everyone is excited, you know? Everyone wants the best for you. In club, it's kind of like you're looking at your teammate and it's kind of like they're also your competition, right?
Yeah.
You can cheer them on and you want them to do their best. But at the same time, if you get a gold medal and they get a silver medal, like you beat them at the same time. But when we go against a team, like we're only hoping that we beat that other team. So I think that's one of the great things about college gymnastics is that it does become so team oriented. And that's why we become so close.
That's an interesting dynamic that you don't really think about. You're on a team in club, but they're also your competition. So that's, interesting. Yeah. You also competed on vault a few times and hit 9.775 in Arizona. What event would you say pushes you the most mentally?
I would say beam. Even I talk a lot to my teammates about this. When I'm at a meet and I was competing vault and beam, you know, vault, you're thinking that, like, you know you're going to compete vault, but I'm still thinking about beam the whole time because vault happens in like 10 seconds and it's just done. And it's like, well, I just did that. But beam is like, you are walking through your head. You have so many words and different visualizations where vault is like, I tell myself like five different things and then I just go for it. Where beam is very critical. The way like where my headspace is before I do a beam routine and even leading up to it has to be like exactly where I need it to be. So definitely beam pushes me a lot more mentally than vault does. I get more.
Yeah. What do you get more nervous
beam,
for?
Right? I mean, the vault, it's, and you get nervous, but beam, it's, there's so much at stake, right? You're on this little small beam. What is it? 4 or 5 inches?
4 inches.
And you're up there. And I mean, my feet are, I mean, I put my foot on there. I'm hanging over halfway. And so it's just so, there's not a margin for error, right? In a little dip and a little lean and your score is so impacted. And if you just miss a little bit, you fall, you get hurt. So there's a lot as a dad watching her. There's a lot at stake when you get up on that beam.
And you do beautiful at it. And this is a little bit of a side note, but you're 5'6", and that's a little bit tall for a gymnast, right? So would you say your height has helped you or challenged you a little bit in some of these events?
I think probably a little bit of both. I remember when I think it was right when I started high school, I hit this growth spurt, and I remember like swinging bars, and I couldn't even do a giant anymore. And I was like, I just suddenly had these long legs and I didn't know what to do with them. So it did take some time to adjust and I was like always the short one and suddenly grew and was so much taller. And even now I'm like the second tallest on the team and people see me all the time and they're like, how are you? Like, you're so tall. Does that make it so hard? And honestly, I think I just like adjusted to my body. I mean, I do think everyone's gymnastics looks so different because everyone's body looks so different and we're an artistic sport. So, I mean, our body is our sport. So I think that it does help a little bit. It can help with like cleaner lines or make you look a little more accentuated. So I think that does help with the dance aspect of gymnastics.
You've used it to your benefit.
Thank you.
Chris, you and your beautiful wife, Jamie, had five kids. Obviously, sports was a huge part of your life. How did you approach sports when it came to your kids? Was it something you urged them to do at an early age, or did they just naturally start gravitating towards it?
I think they knew that sports. I mean, when my older kids were born, I was still playing in the NFL. And so our life surrounded, you know, my sport, right? Football, we'd go to the games. The kids would go to the games. We would watch Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, it was our life, right? And then when they started to evolve into their sports, they attacked with the same mentality. And, you know, for me, it's a mentality when you play whatever sport it is, right? If they're playing football, if they're playing basketball, gymnastics, whatever it is, it's when you're out there, you give everything you got, right? And I'd always tell my kids, I don't care if you fumble the football. I don't care if you miss a tackle. I don't care if you fall on the beam, but you're going to give 110%. That's what Hokes do. And so that was our mentality, is never get out there on the playing field, never get on the mat and not give your best effort. I can't live with that. I can live with mistakes. I can't live with going half speed or not giving everything you got. And they embrace that mentality.
Chloe, I want to hear about that from your perspective. What was it like growing up with an NFL dad who could maybe be a little bit intense? I don't know.
It definitely had ups and downs.
Be honest. You can be honest.
I'm being honest. It definitely had its ups and downs. I mean, it was always like my teammates were always like, wow, like your dad, he's just so intense. And for me, it was like, that's just how I was raised. But I think sometimes it was a little bit harder to go through as we are, because I was the first girl. I'm like the first one to do gymnastics. And gymnastics is very different from football. But it's also similar because it's very mental. So there's like a lot of mental similarities to the sports. But I think part of it took some understanding that he had to learn a little bit more about the sport, because I would try to teach him, but he like always liked to be right about sports. Sometimes sports can vary. So yeah. I do think it helped me a lot mentally and helped me be mentally strong and kind of shape my work ethic. But I do think that we had to learn from each other of where there was some differences between gymnastics and football.
And there was differences between boys and girls, right? I mean, I can do boys harder than Chloe or my daughter Aubrey. And I learned that, right? When I started really to lean in Chloe's sport and be around more, because, you know, we have five kids, right? So I was off doing a lot of things. Jamie would travel with Chloe. I wouldn't be at a lot of the away meets because I'd be at home with Lincoln or Kate or Nate with their sports, basketball, football, whatever. And the reality, when I started leaning with Chloe, she didn't take the coaching style that I have with the boys. So I had to adjust. It was a lot more love. There was a little more, you had to come delicately, because the boys, you can get in their mug and just get after them, and then they're going to respond. They're going to go out and they go harder. In gymnastics, going harder is not always the answer. And I learned that, right? Sometimes it just, you have to relax and you do much better. And I grew in that. And listen, I didn't learn that, I think, until she got to BYU, and I was able to back off a little bit because she was away. And I saw her thrive, and I saw her really blossom as a gymnast. And I'm so grateful, again, for the coaches out there and for the environment that they have in the gymnastics program or teammates. Man, it's the best. And they just do a great job of pulling the best out of these girls.
Yeah. Chloe, if it makes you feel any better, my dad still to this day will be like, you could have been so good at sports if you were just a little more coachable. You know, like, it's exactly like you said, Chris. You approach boys and girls a little bit differently. So you did a good job by adjusting there. I want to know, Chloe, what was your path to college gymnastics like? Because every sport is unique of how you're noticed by different colleges and how you get there. So tell me kind of your path to BYU.
Yeah. So I kind of always had my eyes set that I wanted to go to BYU, and they were always my number one, just from going out there and visiting family and going out there, and my brother's doing camps. I went to a camp whenever I was younger. I knew that was ultimately where I wanted to end up. And as I started to progress in our developmental program, my club gym, my coach is really good at helping us prepare and contact colleges and going to camps and stuff like that. So we learned a lot about how to contact them and reach out. And we did different showcase camps. We went to Seattle once for a camp with a bunch of college coaches where guard was even there. And we would do different things in different states. But ultimately, we had to email them videos of practices, videos from competition. And I ended up going out to BYU camp in 2021. And I went to a camp there, just got to know the coaches, kind of got to show them like my personality, my gymnastics, who I am. And I went to a few other camps. And then ultimately, like, at the end of that summer, I was like, okay, like, this is what I want. And I just started talking to the coaches a lot more. And that's when they offered me to come be on the team. But my recruitment process was, I think, a little different because I had my eyes set on BYU. I knew they were my number one. So I didn't really open my options too far from BYU. But whenever they gave me that opportunity, I took it.
I love that you mentioned that you wanted to show them your personality, because in your BYU bio, you say you love to shop and you love the color pink. Yeah. I feel like that just screams personality right there. So
to shop. Especially when dad pays.
Well, absolutely. It's always better when someone else is paying. Yeah. But Chloe, how do you bring that fun side of you into such kind of a serious and intense sport?
Yeah, I honestly think it helps me a lot. As I've competed throughout the years too, even in high school, I kind of got to learn everyone competes differently. Some people don't talk at all. Some people have to talk. Some need a mixture. But I think what works for me is, like, if I'm having fun, even sometimes I'll be in a hard practice or something, and I just remind myself, like, I'm doing this for fun. Like, I'll, like, force a smile on my face and be like, this is so fun. And I have a lot of teammates too. For example, Bryn, we are, like, practice a lot together, and we're just like, this is our life. Like, this is so fun. And we just remind each other how much fun we're having, and it just makes it so much better. So I think it kind of brings that same happiness in the sport, especially when you're doing it every day. Some people still ask me, like, do you love gymnastics? And I'm like, well, yeah. Obviously, some days are better than others. But I think just remembering that, like, I get the opportunity to do this, and it's so much fun, that's why I do it, just makes it so much better.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. Chris, when it comes to Chloe, did you see her early on carving out her own identity while growing up in a football heavy household?
Yeah. Well, listen, don't get it misguided. Chloe knows football as good as anybody. She knows football.
Oh, I believe
her boys. I mean, she knows the Steelers, she knows the players, she knows the NFL. And so that's part of her life as well, her DNA. But yeah, there's no question about it. You know, as she started to carve out her own path in gymnastics, you know, one thing about her was that she would go to gymnastics for 20, 30 hours a week, but then she would come home and she'd continue to practice, right? It was never at the point where she would go and then didn't want to go back. She would come home and she'd work on it more, and she would be so creative, making up routines and dancing around. And then she'd want to go back in the morning, and she just loved it. And to me, that's important, right? Because it wasn't work anymore. It was going to do something that she loved. And that's when you succeed, right? You don't succeed when you go and it's a grind and you just don't like it. I mean, she was passionate about gymnastics. She loved everything about it, the work, the study, the preparation. And that's why she carved out a path to lead her to where she is today.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have more from BYU gymnast Chloe Hoke and her dad, former BYU football player and Super Bowl champion, Chris Hoke. This is Royal Legacy.
Now back to Royal Legacy and your host, Lauren McLean.
Welcome back to Royal Legacy. I'm Lauren McLean, and I'm here with BYU gymnast Chloe Hoke and her dad, former BYU football player and Super Bowl champion, Chris Hoke. Chris, you were a big BYU fan growing up, and you played here yourself, and now Chloe is competing for the Cougars. What does that mean to you as a dad to see your daughter in Cougar blue?
It's huge, right? I mean, I grew up when I was a young boy in 1984. I went to the national championship game. Well, it really wasn't called that, but they played the Michigan Wolverines. And I was there when BYU won that game with Robbie Bosco, quarterback. And from that point, I was a huge BYU football fan and BYU fan. And then I played there, obviously, for Lowell Edwards and loved every minute of playing for Coach Edwards. So I was bleeding blue. And when she chose BYU, it meant a lot to me. And to see her to put on that Y and go out there and compete as a Cougar is huge for me, right? Because that school means so much to me. And so as she's there and she's enjoying not only the environment, because we know what kind of environment BYU has, And it's a great place for young men and women to go and develop as individuals and as saints. So as an athlete, though, for her to go there and succeed at the highest level and be able to compete every single Friday night is huge for me. It's quite emotional, actually, as I think about it.
Chloe, your dad's a BYU legend. And did you ever feel pressure to choose BYU because of your dad a little bit?
I think a little bit. Not necessarily like you have to go here. But I think part of it was like, I mean, my parents both went there. As mentioned, my dad, he definitely left a legacy there. But I think part of it was like, it was more exciting to choose BYU because I knew that was the place where I wanted to be. I knew that that was going to be the best environment for me. I knew that felt more, the most like home. So at the end of the day, I didn't really feel pressured. I felt like it was my decision to go, and I've loved being there. So, yeah.
Chris, when you watch Chloe compete, do you ever have flashbacks of your own training days at BYU?
Sure, especially when I'm out there. I'm there and I'm at the home meets, right? Just going through campus and remembering some of the moments of just the training and during the season, the off-season training, and then going and watching Chloe compete. It's huge, right? Because there's a lot of connectivity between Chloe and I. And when she's running in the off-season and running those hills behind the field house, right? Those kind of things where I walk that hill so many times, right? Or she'll call me after practice. She's walking up the stairs going up on campus. And I remember walking those steps. When we were at BYU, they seemed like they went on forever, Lauren. Forever. Now you're walking, it's like no big deal, right? But it was after practice and you were tired and your legs were sore. And so that walk up that hill up on upper campus. So it's fun to now listen to her stories and watch her go through the same experiences I went through. Even though they were different sports, the life of an athlete is very similar at BYU.
For those athletes, they need to have some sort of ramp you can just, you know, like it.
Yeah, like escalator.
I'm serious.
You just hold on and pulls you up just for the athletes. Yeah.
I'm waiting for you to build an escalator that goes all the way up there.
Right? Eventually. Chris, you've always been known as a guy who's just outworked everybody to get what you want at BYU, in the NFL. Where would you say that drive comes from?
Oh, man. You know, I my parents were hard workers. My dad's a hard worker, and my mom. But I think it really came from understanding that, you know, I wasn't always the most athletic guy on the field, Lauren. I wasn't the biggest, strongest, fastest guy. So I knew that I had to find a winning edge. And my winning edge was outworking people. Because I had to be smarter. I had to go harder. And I had to outlast people. And that was just from working. And so I learned that as a young Cougar, I learned as a young Steeler that if I wanted to play, if I wanted to stick around in the NFL, I had to work harder than everyone else. And that's kind of bled into my life post football as well, right? That if you want to be successful, there's no replacement for hard work. And so that's kind of been part of my DNA, and you know, of who I am. But that's, I don't know if it really came from anyone. My parents were hard workers, but really became part of me because I knew it was part of my survival in professional sports.
Chloe, what's one attribute about your dad that you've tried to implement into your own life that you've seen growing up?
No pressure.
Let's think here. I would say, I'm trying to think. Probably, I don't know. My friends listen to, like, I FaceTime my dad all the time. He likes to talk to them. And one thing, like you said, is hard work. I've just finished workout, and I'm like, that was so hard. Like, I felt like I was going to throw up. He's like, and my friend will quote it all the time. She's like, if you don't feel like you're going to throw up, then you're not working hard enough. And that's what he told us. So I think one of the things that I've tried to implement is, like you said, is hard work. There's days where I just am like, how am I even doing this? I don't even know. Like, I'm so sore. And I'm like, I don't even know how I'm going to make it through this practice. But I'm like, well, the only way to stand out is if I do make it through this practice. And the only way to get my place in the lineup is to show that, like, I'm working harder than the rest. So I think just that same aspect of working hard and the intensity. My dad has a lot of intensity. That's how most people describe him. So I think bringing that intensity of, like, no matter what, I'm not going to stop. Like, you're going to have to make me stop is kind of something that I've tried to implement into gymnastics and into my sport.
I love it.
Chris, what was it like raising your kids in the same city that you had your NFL career in?
You know, it was interesting because, you know, and for the older kids, for Cade, my oldest son, I think it was a little harder than the other ones, right? Because he felt the pressure. He was playing youth football and he was playing Little League baseball when I was still playing. Because I played 11 years and he felt the pressure. I remember one time he and I have a conversation when he was 9 or 10 years old and we were driving to a game and he got emotional and he said, "Dad, when I go out there, people expect me to play a certain way because I'm your son." And, you know, and it's true. He'd walk out on the basketball court for a tournament and for a game, and people would say, "Oh, that's Chris Oak's son. That's Chris Oak's son." And there was a bit of pressure on him. As you know, as we got down to the younger kids, not so much, because even though I was in the limelight, be on TV and radio, it wasn't the same as being the current Steeler. There was an element of pressure, right? There was an expectation of being the son or daughter of a Pittsburgh Steeler. In Pittsburgh, you can be a Pirate, you can be a Penguin, but it's not like being a Pittsburgh Steeler, right?
Right.
You're a Pittsburgh Steeler. You're held to a different standard. You're looked at in a different way, and you're kind of put up on a pedestal in a way because of all the Super Bowls and success that the Steelers have had over the decades.
Chloe, you probably have a different perspective, not only because you're a little bit younger, but you're also a girl. And because of that, there is just a little bit less of that pressure, I would say, than what Chris was talking about. But what was it like for you growing up in Pittsburgh, knowing that your dad was a legend there too?
I think it's a lot different for me because all my brothers, they play football and I'm gymnastics. And so no one really thinks like, "Oh, Chris Hoke, gymnastics." I don't really think there was that connection. I think it was more for me, it was more exciting for me than pressure. It was more like, "Oh, I get to go to the games and have a good time."
Yeah.
And rep the black and gold. But I think it was more, I think, a different mentality than, I think, not even comparing to football. I think people just compare athletic success whenever it comes to, like, your parent playing at such a high level. It's like, oh, well, like you said, it's just probably in their DNA. So I think I could still feel that pressure of, like, I need to be good at my sport because my dad is good at his sport and that's what he does. So I definitely felt that, but definitely not as much as my brothers did.
Chris, it took a few years before you really broke through in the NFL. When you look back at that time, what kept you going? And was there ever a time you felt like you maybe wanted to walk away?
There's no question about it. I mean, there were many times when I really thought, like, is this for me? Right? This is hard work. Being in training camp and not getting the reps I wanted the first year or two as a young Steeler. And is this worth it? And there was a time in my rookie year, I was at training camp and I called Jamie. She was in Dallas at her parents' home with her. Cade was only 8 months old, my oldest boy now, who's about 24. And I was like, "Jamie, I don't know, man. I'm getting a couple reps of practice. This doesn't look like it's going to work out. I think I'm just going to come home." But I knew deep down, Lauren, that if I gave up, I would regret the rest of my life. And then it would give me a pass to give up it throughout my life. And I wasn't willing to make that decision to be a quitter or a guy that would give up when things got hard. And I'm so glad I didn't, because that taught me a big lesson. And I kept going. I kept working and got some reps in a game, made a couple plays, caught Coach Cower's eye, and then I started getting more reps. But even the first 3 years, I didn't play a lot. And it took a lot of mental toughness. You know, there were times I was sweating it during the season when a guy would get hurt thinking I was going to get cut or they were going to try to replace me because I needed a roster spot. That all helped me develop a mental toughness that I needed as I got thrown in the lineup and I started games and I started to work through it and helped me become the kind of person I am today and the kind of dad that I needed to be for my kids, especially with the struggles that we've gone through the last year and a half, you know, a couple of years with Jamie's passing, being able to have a certain mindset and a mental toughness as we approach and we try to navigate the loss of Jamie, right? And attacking that with a certain mindset. I believe that the experiences I've gone through in life that helped me develop this mental toughness has prepared me to be able to lead my family through this very difficult and challenging time.
Chloe, what would you say to that when you look back at your life and the difficulties that you've gone through? How has that influence from your dad and that toughness helped you through hard times?
I think, like you said, there's just a different mentality. Like, I think it's not like I don't go through those hard times, but I think I have a different mindset as I go through them. So I think we understand that we're going through hard challenges, but but knowing that we're going to get through them. And I think a big thing for us is trusting Heavenly Father's plan for us. Like, we have such a strong belief that everything, we know, we don't understand maybe why it's happening right now, but Heavenly Father does. And I think that's like something we haven't talked about yet, but my dad has really implemented on us, is like a spiritual foundation that we have that goes along with that intensity and that hard work and that drive comes that spiritual aspect that has helped us, those combination, get through our hard challenges and trials.
You know, there's a saying, Lauren, that I live by, and I you know, when we're going through challenges, there's a picture I have in my mind. I have a visual of the Savior standing in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And the waves are rough. And there's a statement above it that says, "Focus on me, not the storm." And I remember when Jamie passed, it was a couple of days after the funeral, and all the kids were getting ready to go back out to Utah. And I sat them all down in the family room. And I said, "Listen, here's the deal. Folks are resilient. We're not going to use this as an excuse. We're not going to use this as, oh, hey, I'm not going to go to workouts, or I'm not going to go to class now because mom passed away." I said, "It's going to be hard. We got hard days ahead of us. There are going to be some difficult times where you're going to feel very sad and very lonely, and it's going to be hard. And those are the times we get on our knees and we lean on the Savior and his atoning power, and it'll help us to rise above those moments. But we're not going to use this as an excuse and let it hold us back." And I felt like that was something, a foundation that I developed over the years of leaning on the Savior as I went through challenging times, and allowed me now to rise up and really instill that in my children, and they embrace that mentality. And it's been beautiful to watch my children as we've gone through this the last year and a half, but really the last 4 months, 5 months, and watch them embrace this moment and allow this to help them become stronger, help them become better, help them come closer to the Savior and lean on him more. And it's been a beautiful thing for me to watch as a father, as I've watched them navigate this with faith and embracing the future with faith.
I can't imagine what you guys have gone through these last few months. I'm so, so sorry. And Chloe, you found out, so she passed away in January, and you found out your mom passed away on the road in Nashville with BYU Gymnastics. It was your first meet of the season and your college debut, nonetheless. And you competed that night and incredibly earned a team high 9.825 on the beam. This is going to make me cry. I'm a mom. I just can't even imagine this. How would you describe what that meet was like for you?
Yeah, it was definitely special. I woke up that morning and I woke up straight to a FaceTime from my dad, and I was like, okay, and he just explained to me. And I think there was something so special about competing that night, was that my mom was going to be there with me. And sorry, that was a big thing to us, was that she wanted to be there. And I think that was what made it so special, was that I knew my mom had passed, but I knew that she was going to be in the stands with me that night. And during that routine, it was so special, because I'll never forget, I was on the beam and I do these skills all the time, and you have so many feelings inside. And I just remember being on the beam and feeling like, this is so surreal. Like, I felt like I was like floating. I was like, huh, just like dancing. And I was going to my dismount, and I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing right now. And it was just like all so surreal that I knew that like my mom was in that arena, and it just meant so much more.
You know, Lauren, I remember talking to Chloe that morning, and I remember telling her that Jamie had passed in the middle of the night, and she broke down. I said, "Honey," I said, "you got to go." I said, "Mom would want you to compete tonight, and you've got to get your mind right. Don't let anything in your headspace, and go out there and compete for mom." And she did. Jamie wanted to be there so badly. We had talked about being in Nashville months and months and months before that, when the schedule came out. But in the condition that she was in the last couple months, there's no way she could have made it. And so the beautiful thing was, she was there. And she was on the front row watching her baby girl compete. And it's so beautiful, you know. And you talk about that score, which was, she had the high score. And then you look at the regionals, right, where she had the 9.875, her best score ever. That was Jamie's birthday. And so the day that Jamie passed, where she got an 8.25. And then the last meet of the year was on Jamie's birthday, where she went out and competed at 9.875. And there's no question in my mind, there's no way you can convince me otherwise, that Jamie had a big part in how well she did in those 2 days, those 2 meets.
Chloe, is there something you do or think about that makes you feel like she's cheering you on? Because that happened at the very beginning of the season, and now you've competed an entire season.
Yeah, there was one time, I can't even remember, whenever you were talking to us, because we were talking about this, like, we're going to do these things because that's what our mom would want us to do. And I remember talking one time, he told us, he was like, "Mom, be with us. We just have to ask Heavenly Father to send, like, have her, like, send her down to be here with us." So part of my, like, pre-beam ritual is I go through my routine, say a little prayer, I do some visualization, and every meet, from that time, from after Nashville, I'd ask Heavenly Father to send my mom down in the arena to be there with me every time. So that's how I knew she was always there. It's ask Heavenly Father to let my mom be in the arena with me as I was going to be.
And there's no question she was there.
That is so beautiful. And like I said, as a mom, I can't imagine ever missing that wherever you are, right? How would you describe, Chris, how the last few months has brought you guys closer together as a family?
Oh, goodness. It's been beautiful, right? As we've been able to remember Jamie and talk about Jamie and how much we love her. And hey, listen, she was an incredible mom. She continues to live on in my children, in our children. And the reality is that Jamie continues to influence their lives in a positive way because of the life that she lived. And they want to live their life to be an example of Jamie and a reflection of who Jamie was and continues to be. And they know that, to be with Jamie again, Jamie's got the fast pass into the celestial kingdom. I believe that with all my heart, right? She's going to skip the line because she's just so, so good and so wonderful. And our kids want to be with her again. And so in order to do that, they've got to be covenant keepers, right? They've got to keep the commandments. They've got to stay on the straight and narrow path, the covenant path, that we call it now. And that will allow them to be with her again. So it's easy for me to parent now because it's just, hey, you know where mom's going to be. You know where she's going to be. We want to be with her. So we got to live our life in a certain way as disciples of Jesus Christ to allow us to be with her again someday. And man, it's been powerful as I've watched my kids respond to that and how it's brought us closer together as we strive to live our lives in a way that would be a reflection of Jamie's life.
You guys have such a beautiful and inspirational faith, and happy Mother's Day to Jamie on Sunday, right?
Absolutely.
My last questions for you, I want to ask you, Chris, we'll start with you. What do you admire most about Chloe, not just in the gym, but who she is as a person?
You're going to make me cry again. I've been crying the last bit. Chloe is me. We are so similar. We think the same way. We talk a lot of the same way. We act the same way. We love the Savior in the same way. We love family the same way. Everything that we do, it seems like Chloe, she's a spitting image of me, but just a different gender. And I love Chloe because she loves me. And we have a special relationship. I always tell people, she's my baby girl. And, since a young age, I always told her how much I loved her and that her daddy was always going to be there for her no matter what. And I try to do that every single day. And she knows. I mean, she's told her teammates that, you know, how am I going to find a guy to marry when I'm not going to be able to find someone who loves me, which my dad does, right? And that's how much I love her. And she will find someone special someday that's been prepared for her. But I admire Chloe because she loves big. I mean, Chloe loves and her friends, her sport, her family, the Savior, whatever it is, Chloe loves big and makes her an incredible person.
I will say, Chloe, good luck to that guy that you eventually have to introduce to your dad and get the approval. Chloe, I'm going to ask you the same question. What do you admire most about your dad?
Yeah, I think a lot of things that my dad said, we have a really special relationship. I've always been a daddy's girl. So, but I think something that about my dad is like, he kind of mentioned this, but my dad, like, he's never let me down. I know I can always turn to my dad. And I know that, like you said, I've never met someone who's loved me as much as my dad does. And I think people around me recognize that. They're like, your dad just like he loves you so much. I'm like, I know, he's so awesome. But yeah, I think the special relationship we have, that I know that I can talk to my dad about anything. If I have a problem, he's the first person I call, and I'm, even sometimes whenever he doesn't want to help me solve it, he always helps me solve it, because I always know that he's going to have an answer. So I think just knowing that I have someone there that loves me through all my mistakes and my shortcomings, but then loves me through all the good moments, through all the bad moments, and has just, I don't know, taught me everything to help me through those trials and help me celebrate all my best moments, has been the best thing about my dad.
I'm here with Chloe and Chris Hoke. Chloe, the future NFL broadcaster.
Yes.
And Chris, the former Super Bowl champion. You guys are incredible. Thank you so much for taking the time. And you're just both beautiful people. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Wonderful time. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Chloe and Chris Hoke for coming on the show with me. Annie Robinson helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Royal Legacy wherever you get your podcasts. On Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Royal Legacy is a production of BYU Broadcasting.